I should have thought you'd have grown out of talking about getting men, I said coldly. She flushed.
I didn't mean it that way, you know I didn't. I'm hoping he'll really fall in love with you. He likes you so much already, he said so only today.
A dreadful thought struck me. Rose, oh Rose, I cried, you didn't tell him I'm in love with him. She swore she hadn't. But I fear she had. He has been so kind ever since then. He was always that, but now his kindness seems deliberate. Or do I imagine it? He comes to talk to Father nearly every day. They are in the gatehouse together now. Apparently I was all wrong about Father. Apparently it is very clever to start a book by writing "The Cat Sat on the Mat" 19 times. And publishers, both in England and America, have paid Father an advance, even though the whole book may not be finished for years. Shall I let myself see Simon today? It is out of my hands. I looked down and saw him standing in the courtyard. He waved to me, started towards the bridge. He's coming up. How much one can learn in an hour. He had come to say goodbye. In a few days he is going to America, partly because Mrs. Cotton wants to be in New York for the winter, and partly so that he can be there when Father's work first comes out in the magazine. He is going to write some articles on it. Anyway, I shall be back soon, Simon said. I wonder. He looked at me quickly and asked what I meant. I wished I hadn't said it. For weeks now I have feared that having been hurt so much by Rose may have put him off living in England. I just wondered if America might claim you, I said. He didn't answer for so long that I visualized him gone forever, and the Fox Cottons installed at Scotney as they so much want to be. Perhaps I shall never see him again, I thought, and suddenly felt so cold that I gave a little shiver. Simon noticed it and moved closer, pulling the rug up around us both. Then he said, I shall come back all right. I could never desert Scotney. I said I knew he loved it dearly. Then he said, Do you know, this is our third conversation on Belmont Mound. I knew it very well. Yes, I suppose it is, I said, trying to sound casual. I don't think I managed it, because he suddenly slipped his arm round me. The still afternoon seemed stiller. The late sunlight was like a blessing. As long as I live, I shall remember that silent minute. At last he said, I wish I could take you to America with me. Would you like to come? For a second, I thought it was just a joking remark, but he asked me again. Would you, Cassandra? Then something about the way he spoke my name made me sure that if I said yes, he would ask me to marry him. And I couldn't do it, though I don't think I fully knew why until now. I said, in as normal a voice as I could manage, I don't know that I care to be away from Father too long this year. I thought that if I put it that way, he wouldn't know I had guessed what was in his mind, but I think he did, because he said very quietly, Oh, wise young judge. When he got up to go, he wrapped the rug tightly round me, then told me to slip out my hand. It's not a little green hand this time, he said, as he took it in his. I said, Simon, you know I'd love to see America, if ever the circumstances were, well, favourable. He turned my hand over and kissed the palm, then said, I'll report on them when I come back.